Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My company today is DeMichael Cole. He, of course, the Commercial Appeals Grizzlies beat writer, also the host of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Episodes available Monday through Friday. Download, like, subscribe wherever you find your podcast. He's on Twitter, on X, at DeMichael C. DeMichael, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey. What's going on, man?
Good to have you back in here, buddy. Always love it when you are in here. Let's tell everybody what we got coming up on the program. It is, of course, Thursday, so we'll get back into the routine. We'll do the tasting menu. We don't have a full slate tonight, but there are multiple games, so we'll get into that briefly, and then we'll set the agenda for the weekend. Eric Hastein going to join us at 2:40 like he does each and every Thursday. We'll talk some Grizz with Eric as well. Top of the hour of hour number two, we'll get into the list. I think the two big stories to get into at that point will be, of course, the Pac air quotes 12 and their expansion, or they're just simply trying to add numbers that somewhat make sense. We got Pac 12, but we'll have at least six teams. We'll talk about that in the future. Also, we got the news today of the big exhibition games that will go on at FedEx Forum. The North Carolina Tar Heels will take on the men's team, and the defending champions, they went undefeated, right? South Carolina.
38-0.
38-0. Dawn Staley brings the South Carolina Gamecocks to town to take on the Lady Tigers. So we'll talk about that during the list. Jason Smith going to join us during the second hour as well. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But it's a Thursday, and I think let's get back into the routine. Let's talk about the old tasting menu. Let's set the viewing schedule for the weekend. All right, DeMichael, if you're unfamiliar, here's the strategy that we use. Mm-hmm. On Saturday and Sunday, I have to bring TV 4 out from my daughter's bedroom, but we have the 4 TVs set up. So, yep. On a night like tonight, we really probably only need 3. So we'll go with the 3 TV setup for Thursday, Friday, and then we'll talk about the 4 TV setup and if we need additional auxiliary screens. Are we going to need something on? Are we going to have to bring out the quad box on the Fubo or whatever, Apple TV, whatever yeah. We're going to start doing if we have kind of some mid-card games. So we'll set the agenda. But I think let's start first and foremost. We have the opening of Amazon Prime's Thursday night football schedule. We have the Miami Dolphins hosting the Buffalo Bills. And this is when I think you can actually still get into Thursday night football, because I don't think the toll of the season has had quite the impact on the guys.
Right.
Yes,
not beat up yet.
Both teams played Sunday, but at the same time, like, they're probably still going to be okay. And so I do actually think, though, this is a pretty good opener. A, it's a division game, but B, you've got Josh Allen, you got the new look Bills, no Stephon Diggs. They're trying to commit to the running game to a certain degree to take some pressure off Josh. But then you also have, I think, this reality with the Dolphins. I don't know how much you caught of the Jags game.
Yeah.
It was kind of a weird game in this sense. It felt like the Jaguars were completely controlling the game until they weren't.
Yep.
And then they weren't controlling it, and then all of a sudden you let Tyreek free, and he's a cheat code.
Yep.
And it's unfair. But for about 2.5 quarters, the Dolphins didn't look great.
Yeah.
And if you recall, this time last year, like, they were cooking everyone early.
Yeah.
So I do think it's a fun matchup there. Right now, I think, what are we at, 2.5?
Yeah.
I think the line's 2.5. You had the note that Josh Allen on Thursday Night Football, what's his record?
6-0.
6-0 on Thursday Night Football. I also feel like he has an extraordinary record against the Dolphins.
I'm sure he does.
I'm pretty sure it's something.
He's owned the NFC, I mean the AFC East since.
Like, he doesn't have quite as good of a record against the Jets, because the Jets just play cover 4 against him, and dare him to make a mistake, and sometimes he will oblige them.
That's his game.
Yes, he will. It's unbelievable, though. Like, if you look at his stats, when you talk about, everyone talks about the turnovers. Yeah, he had the bad fumble last week, but after that, he played pretty much perfect football. If you look at most of his turnovers, they all come in games like that, where he was, I think last year was 6-1 against playoff teams, and he had like an unbelievable touchdown interception ratio. But he will throw up a 4-pick game against the Jets. when you're taking on the Pats, he'll throw a couple of picks there. Like, I feel like that's when he's at his worst, is when he's playing the lesser competition. And I don't know if it was getting frustrated of, all right, we should be scoring more.
It's still a certain type of defenses, too.
For sure.
Like Bill Belichick, for a while, gave him some fits. And, I mean, now you mentioned, like, with the Jets, you know, Robert Saleh, you know, defensively, it didn't look like it on Monday night, but for the most part, the Jets are going to be sound defensively.
It's usually teams that you're mentioning that will play off in coverage and try to take away the big play.
And he wants that. He's a gambler.
And Mahomes had a problem with this a couple of years ago, where everybody was doing the same thing, and they kind of get frustrated and like, all right, we gotta get something back here. All right, I was trying to do game logs against the Dolphins. Because I believe the stat is I know he lost once. They lost the year in Miami early when Ken Dorsey broke the Microsoft Surface. Remember when everyone, like, Microsoft paid God knows how much money to be the official tablet of the NFL? Everybody's still calling them iPads. And everyone's just calling them, they're iPads. Come on, they're iPads. So we got that one. That's a fun one. And then there's kind of a sneaky, fun Thursday night college game tonight.
Yeah.
Arizona State goes to Texas State. And I don't know what to make of Texas State yet, because they absolutely flexed on UTSA last week.
They did.
But I also think UTSA, I think we're starting to realize Frank Harris was awesome, and maybe that was part of their success. They've got one of the McCowns' sons playing quarterback. It's not really all that great. But they host Arizona State. And where it becomes a little bit interesting is, okay, I'm not saying I think Texas State needs to be, like, lifted up into the same echelon right now as Boise, as the Tigers.
But they're favorites now.
They are favorites, and they're also in the Sun Belt. And the Sun Belt's going to get more respect, in my opinion, than Conference USA.
I think that's fair.
And so if they get this win, you get a Power 5 team at home.
They're on the radar.
Correct.
Like, they are on the radar. We keep talking about Memphis and, you know, Boise State, Liberty.
NIU entered the chat.
Yeah, NIU is definitely in the building now. But they definitely, because, like you said, last week, what they did, they caught my eye. And they're favorites against Arizona State. And I know Arizona State had some turnover the last couple years and whatnot, but I'm going to be tuned in.
Arizona State jumps out of the gate and throttles Wyoming.
Yep.
And everyone's like, oh, okay. But then we saw Wyoming lose to Idaho last week. So there's this question of what the heck is Wyoming.
It's like the Georgia Tech, Florida State win.
Correct. But this line has flipped entirely. I think it started out with Arizona State as a 2-point favorite. It's jumped all the way now down to Texas State, 1.5. But, I mean, you're essentially picking the winner. I guess if you want some maybe a dash of overtime insurance, you could possibly have that with Arizona State, but you're more or less picking the winner. Baseball wise, is there anything that interests you right now?
Oh man, I'm hurting.
I'm still watching technically, but I'm just kind of checked out.
It's tough, and especially, you know, I'm a Braves fan. And,
well, that's what I'm saying. I'm checked out because I'm a Cardinals fan. And it's like we're, I don't know, 5 back in the wild card.
Baseball, it's the thing that I love most about baseball, but it's the thing that it just makes you want to pull your hair out, too. It's so unpredictable in so many ways. Like, of course, the injuries have taken its toll on the Braves or whatever the case may be, but the fact that they went from having, like, one of the greatest offenses of all time last season, and then a lot of those guys are hurt, but, like, Matt Olson is underperforming, and several other guys are underperforming, and now the offense is terrible. And the pitching staff is otherworldly. And it's like, why can't you just merge them?
Yes.
Like, last season, if you had this pitching staff, we get there. It's 2021 again. But, you know, that's baseball. And it's something I like about baseball. That's why I can't wait till the playoffs. But, I'm pretty much close to checked out. I'll circle back When playoffs get here, hopefully the Braves are in there, then we can.
They're only a game out of the wild card.
Only a game out.
If you do want to watch some baseball on TV3, we do have Yankees-Red Sox tonight. And while the Red Sox are, I think they're two back in the wild card. Let me double check. Four back, sorry, in the wild card. You want to talk about bad offense, though. Gather around, my friends. The Cardinals have a winning record with a run differential of minus 65.
Oh, goodness.
The Cardinals have scored 594 runs. There are only, let's see, the Marlins are the only team in the National League that have scored fewer runs, 556. And then you have the White Sox at 451. Shout out to the White Sox. Holy cow. And then the Angels at 576.
They don't have an 800 OPS in their entire lineup.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And this is what I mean. Like, mm-hmm. I couldn't be a card. This would pull my hair up.
Oh, no.
Goldschmidt is hitting 246 with a 717 OPS. Arenado is a 705 OPS. And these dudes, both of their career, I would be willing to bet without even looking right now, are 850-plus OPS guys.
Dude, in June. I'm not talking May. I'm talking middle of June. Helsey had saved over 80% of the wins.
Yeah.
So literally think about that.
That means like, every game is one or two runs.
Exactly.
Like, no margin for error.
Correct. And another 2-1 win last night. So shout out to the Cardinals. You want to watch some baseball, you got that. All right, Friday night. So I will be on the road to Chattanooga to watch my Owls.
Hopefully give a spirited
effort against the defending champion. Blue Tornado, not singular. It's Tornado of Chattanooga,
really?
Macaulay, 6:45. Yeah,
Blue Tornado.
Blue Tornado, one, just single. That's their, and they're very. Anytime you do radio, they'll always send somebody be like, "It's Tornado." I was like, "I know."
Well, I guess when tornadoes do come, it's not like multiple.
Well, the irony is we're driving through a hurricane to go play the tornado. I'm looking forward to that. But let's just say the Owls are at least four touchdown dogs. So we've got that. But we have a couple of interesting games tomorrow night because our old friend Barry Odom got a big one taking on Kansas. And right now, UNLV coming in at 2-0. They've been kind of plucky. And Kansas just had one of the worst losses I've seen. Like, it wasn't if the Arkansas-Oklahoma State game didn't exist last week, Kansas would have had the type of loss where you're like, it was a pick six, a dumb fumble. Illinois is winning, and you're sitting there going, I have no idea how.
You just start wondering.
Correct. And then we have our top 20 matchup, Arizona at Kansas State, the nightcap. So we have the Sunflower State showdown, if you will, or the Sunflower State duo, 6 p.m. for the UNLV at Kansas game. That one's on ESPN. Arizona at K-State, one of our, I believe, two ranked games, ranked on ranked games.
Yep.
That is 7 p.m. at Fox. So I have no idea what to do. I watched Arizona play week one, and they got into one of these like...
It was a shootout.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of points.
Correct. And it's like, offensively, and of course, you have McMillan, who's insane, on the outside, and Fafita's a fun quarterback. They don't seem all that interested in defense.
I mean, their second game was complete opposite.
Yeah.
It was... I think 22-10.
22-10.
They don't have a firm identity at this point. This is a game that's really, like, I call these early season games where you have those two ranked teams where one can actually jump into the serious category. This is that type of game. Like, neither one of these teams jumps out to me as, oh, that's a potential playoff team, but that could change after this game.
Also, reminder, this is a conference game.
Yeah.
This one, to me, falls into the category of last year.
I gotta get used to this stuff.
Well,
this
was literally week three last year. I think it was week three. It was either week three or week four. Oklahoma played Cincinnati at Cincinnati. And I'm like, why are they playing at Cincinnati?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, that's a league game.
Yep.
And I'm like, Arizona, Kansas State. It's like, didn't Kansas State just have a big non-con game? It's like, nope, that's conference game. That one's going to take a while. And then also, like, last week, the ACC got to take bragging rights with Cal beating Auburn. Because that's, you know, when you think ACC football, you think the Cal Bears.
The Atlantic Coast Cal Bears.
From sea to shining sea. Let's see. Okay, now let's get to the main event. Let's go to Saturday.
Yeah.
You're right. Did Fertitta even play? All right, let's get to Saturday. We got, in the early slate, here are the headliners. We got Bama, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State, Tulsa, gross. At Tulsa, by the way. One of the least inspiring game day games of all time.
Yeah.
LSU at South Carolina.
I don't like 11 o'clock
games. I'd rather watch the FCS games. School get game day. Like when they went to JMU and JMU was like all lit. But I mean,
this is one of those weekends. Like this is one of those weekends you just say, let's go to North Dakota State or something. And like,
now, I want to be clear to all the South Carolina fans out there. They show up, show out.
Yeah.
It has less to do with like pointing at South Carolina. It's just like, this doesn't feel like a big game.
It's not like the South Carolina-Alabama Marcus Lattimore.
Correct.
You know,
one of the all-timers.
Exactly.
Like Alshon Jeffery.
Yeah.
I still have no idea how that Bama team lost three games. Well, I guess Cam was one of them. And then they got
LSU.
Les Miles.
Yeah.
That was the grass game, right?
The game, they ate the grass. The fourth down. And
then they ran the reverse. For the end around or whatever on fourth and short. We also have, congrats to the Arkansas State Red Wolves. They go get their check in Michigan, although not a bad time to play Michigan. Of course, game of local interest, Memphis at Florida State.
Yep.
And then we also have another ranked on ranked game at 11:45. So the SEC Network's been staggering their games. We have BC at Missouri. BC enters the AP poll at number 24. I think, honestly, with the Alabama-Wisconsin game being a 16.5-point spread, I would probably have it on TV1 for professional reasons.
Yeah.
I am most intrigued right now by Memphis and Florida State for two reasons. Number one,
there's a lot of storylines here.
We have, as you like, totally mentioned, like we've got the Norvell angle.
Yep.
We have Ryan versus Norvell.
Yep.
We've got the student. We got the student fan base in Florida State calling for Brock Glenn.
We want Brock.
We've got also this weird, like, what is Florida State?
Yep.
Like, are they going to get off the mat, or is this going to be a flex spot?
Florida State can't go 0-3. That's a prideful franchise. That's a prideful university. Like,
the one question that I keep having, because like I've said it a couple times on the show, but this does feel like a bad spot for Memphis to play Florida State, with Florida State having the bye week last week, getting kind of embarrassed in the first 2 weeks, and then all right, here's their chance to like flex their muscles. What if Florida State's just kind of mid?
That's what I mean. Look, I watched these teams that they've played, and like Georgia Tech went that next week, and you know, was Boston College, right?
No, the next week, Georgia Tech. Boston College. And then was Boston College. And the thing about both of those games was they weren't really fluky.
Yeah,
like
they got beat.
BC just ran it down their throat.
Georgia Tech did too.
And Georgia Tech now. At least with the Georgia Tech game, you can kind of say, like, all right, that was a one-score game.
Yeah.
If we recover that fumble instead of
the offensive
lineman getting back on it, it's a different vibe.
DJ is – it's a far cry from what Jordan Travis was. And, you know, like, Norvell, even just him as a – you know, you trust quarterbacks under Norvell, historically speaking. But in this case – DJ isn't the guy right now. Like he missed a corner route in the back of the end zone in that last game, and I'm just
which one?
See, that's my point. Like
keep talking. I'm gonna go find DJ's off target rate.
I almost wanted to like this was a 5-star quarterback. You look at him, fits the bill, right?
He certainly looks the part.
He looks it.
The problem with DJ is, we now have, what, 4-plus years of sample size? The thing that surprised me is Jonathan Smith last year figured out a good way to use him, which is, all right, lean on the running game and then have him take play-action deep shots. And we're not asking him to spread the field and go five wides, we're asking him to make very specific throws. I kind of thought Mike would build off of that. And I know, like, it's a little bit different offense. Obviously, DJ's not going under center with Mike's offense. Although I've started noticing Mike's, I don't know if Mike's doing it because of DJ.
Yeah.
But they've started going under center a little bit. And so I started noticing that. But I still thought they would scheme it up a little bit better. But the problem is every team's now playing them the same, which is they're loading the box.
Yep.
They're taking away the run.
Beat us, DJ.
And so far he hadn't done it. Now, can Memphis implement that game plan?
Memphis definitely is, they're built differently than those other two teams. You know, specifically, those teams ran the ball right at Florida State.
Correct.
Can Memphis do that? I don't. Memphis is more built to beat teams through the air.
What I'm worried about with Memphis is kind of guard, center, guard. Because where Florida State, I think Florida State's defensive line has been.
They got a couple
fine.
They got a couple NFL dudes. Peyton is.
Their linebackers have stunk.
Yeah. Like, that's the difference.
Been very stinky at linebacker. And they're just being killed. And so then that's kind of the other question. Like, are they going to have made defensive adjustments? Are they going to figure out personnel-wise? I have no idea.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, without being Captain Obvious, it's like I feel a heck of a lot better about Memphis going to Tallahassee than I did 3 weeks ago.
Oh, for sure.
And so,
for sure.
To me, that's game one. You got to still put Alabama and Wisconsin for this simple thing. Was last week what happened to Alabama a fluke? And because they struggled with USF last year. Last year they struggled with USF playing Tyler Buchner at quarterback, who's now, I believe, playing lacrosse at Notre Dame. So there's a little bit more there. What concerned me about Alabama last week was there were guys running free against their defense. And while Wisconsin's offense is not going to be USF's offense, what I am very curious about is Wisconsin's defense is going to be a heck of a lot better than South Florida's defense. And what we've seen with Milroe is he's gotten back to the habit of, I am waiting to take the big shot, hit the home run.
Yep.
He took some bad sacks last week. And to me, it's like Wisconsin will be a good test to see if he can take the underneath stuff that's being given to him or if he's still going to keep trying to force it.
Yeah, I think this is a good test for them. And this is like, I'm still in the mood of getting used to this whole new look Alabama. The offense doesn't look drastically different.
And I think that's because Milroe's a quarterback.
And that's exactly. Yeah. The offense does not look drastically different. The defense is a little different.
Yeah.
That's kind of where you see the differences a little bit more. But from how it looks on the field, this is going to be the game, I think, that'll be the real. Like you said, USF, I'm watching it, and I'm like, they're struggling. But then it's like, Saban struggled against them last year, too. So I'm not going to put too much into that. But this game against Wisconsin, and it's a road game.
Yeah, if they have another stinker. And you've also got the young receivers that have flashed, but they're young receivers.
They're young receivers.
You're on the road.
They're on the road.
To me, like that's kind of one of those tests of, because I keep going back and forth. Cobb's been low on him. But mainly Cobb was low on him for secondary reasons. I haven't really thought the secondary's played all that bad. They've had some guys wide running open, but I haven't thought they played that badly. Now, I don't know if they've really played a quarterback yet, so there's also that reality.
Yeah.
But I am kind of, all right, I'm flagging it of, are they something different? Or, like, to me, like, at a certain point, like, I want to see him flex.
Yeah. It's schematically, too. I need to see how they're going to enforce their will defensively against those teams that, you know, those real SEC really good teams. That's what I want to see. Because Alabama, historically, you know, I mean, they're 20-point favorites against ranked teams consistently.
Absolutely. All right, we got LSU South Carolina for TV3. To me, it's like, I want to see what LSU is. I'm not holding it against them that they kind of were bored against Nickel State after a tough, tough loss in Vegas. Like, I'm not going to hold that against them. But South Carolina's defensive front presents a good test. And
you see that fresh Dylan Stewart?
Oh, my gosh.
He's
a stud.
I mean, we were paying all the attention to what the guy on offense.
Yes.
Five-star. Nichols Harbor.
Yes.
But, I mean, Dylan Stewart is, I mean, he had the play where he came off the edge and just, like, looked like he was doing.
Decapitated him.
I mean, whew, I don't want to say that name, but...
Sophomore Javon Clowney?
You see some flashes.
You're like, yeah.
You see some flashes.
Now, offensively, that 31-6 shellacking, that is all the defense from South Carolina.
Yeah.
Because their offense was, like, that left a lot to be desired. I want to see that. And then I think for TV4, let's just go BC Mizzou. It's ranked on ranked.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of a weird spot for Boston College because they're like they're such a big underdog that I'm like, I end up wanting to take Missouri because I'm like, why are they giving me this many points?
Yeah, yeah.
But then there's also this reality of what if like Vegas is just wrong on BC because BC was, what, 17-point dogs, wins by 10 outright at Florida State. Last week, I get it, it's Duquesne. You can make all the jokes you want. But they were only like 23, 24-point favorites. Yeah. They win 56-0.
Yeah.
They're like crushing the Vegas number. So I am curious to know if like that becomes a one-score game or if Missouri has the chance to sit there and go, all right, here's our first real opponent. We are good. This is not just playing bad teams.
I'm careful with these type of teams like because, again, the Florida State brand is so big that it resulted in when Georgia Tech beat Florida State, they were ranked. Then they lost. And then now Boston College, you know, to the same degree, oh, they beat Florida State.
Tim Murray's on Tuesdays and Fridays.
Yeah.
That's one of his favorite principles is fading the team that just enters the top 25. Last week, as you said, Georgia Tech, it's more of a college basketball thing, but it's worked so far. All right, let's go to the afternoon slates. We don't have a lot of headliners in the afternoon, but we do have some fun rivalry games. All right, we got the Crapple Cup between Wazoo and Washington. We have the artist formerly known as the Civil War with Oregon State. That's another one of those lines where I'm like, what am I missing? It's like 16.5. We also have the Backyard Brawl.
Yep.
And then we have Tulane, Oklahoma. We also have Notre Dame at Purdue.
Throw the SEC battle on there.
And then A&M at Florida. I am actually putting this, I reserve the right to change this immediately because this game could get ugly. I don't know if either team can block the other.
A&M Florida?
But I want to put A&M Florida on because
I do too.
If DJ Lagway,
this is a breakout game.
If he's playing.
This is it.
DJ's got that. Like, he's got something.
What's the over-under for this game? It can't be 50.
You want to guess?
It can't be above 50.
You are correct.
Let's go with maybe 47.5.
That is exactly the number. 47.5. Yes. You nailed it right on the number. Right now, A&M down to 3. I think it opened like at 4, 4.5. It's down to 3. So that's one of those games where I know we've already fired Napier, but he still has a few games where it's like if DJ looks good and they can get to like 6, 7 wins,
it might save them.
I got to imagine Florida's not, like, super stoked to strike, you know, a $26 million check to him. Whew. Whatever it's going to cost to go get a new staff. Like, I want to watch it play out.
Yeah,
I'm with you. Putting that on TV1. I'm putting Tulane, Oklahoma on TV2 because there's also AAC implications with Tulane. I'm also curious to know if Kansas State beat Tulane twice with the way that game ended.
Yeah.
And then Oklahoma looked terrible against the terrible
Houston
team.
I'm scouting for this one.
All right, and then I'll rotate my rivalry games with Civil War, Crapple Cup.
This is weird,
and Backyard Brawl.
These are November games.
I know.
I got to get used to this.
It's so bizarre. At least they're playing them. Tip of the cap.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's go to the night slate. 5:30 over on the CW. You've got Ole Miss taking on Wake Forest. I put this note in the picks column that I write for my friends over at Rebel Grove. Hank Bachmeyer, formerly of Boise State, last year of Louisiana Tech. Spoiler alert, he's now at Wake Forest. I did not believe this was true, but I looked it up myself. In his last 13 games against FBS opponents, Hank Bachmeyer has never once covered the spread. He's not covered 13? The spread since November the 20th of 2021.
You're going to make me do it.
And
straight.
This game's a lot like the when one of my all-time favorite bets, which is whenever Wake would play Clemson and Clemson had the dudes up front and Wake's trying to run that little slow mesh.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Ole Miss's defense is going to feast. And Dave Clawson is basically, he's like, let everybody know, like, this game, this game's not going to be close. we've got UTSA taking on Texas. It will be your opportunity to watch Arch Manning play in the second half.
Throw a couple more passes.
Yeah, throw a few more passes. We've got Georgia at Kentucky, the game that was supposed to be the game day game, and it's now a 24-point spread. If Kentucky couldn't block South Carolina, how are they going to block
24
Georgia?
Is being nice.
I kind of think the same.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to, as bad as Hank Bachmeier is, also at 6 p.m. over on Plus, Diego Pavia, dog. In the last 2 years, 13-4 against the spread as a starting quarterback. Diego's taking on Georgia State. Vandy laying 10. I can't believe I actually want to lay a number with Vandy, but that's how much I love that kid. God, he is so much fun to watch. We also have perhaps Hugh Freeze juggling quarterbacks against New Mexico.
Yep.
Toledo taking on Mississippi State. That line has jumped so much that it makes me think Toledo's got a bunch of people out. So there's that one. The Vols, of course, hosting Kent State. That's just a question of how much does Tennessee want to win by. They've got Oklahoma next week.
Got a big one next week.
We also, during that window, have Baylor at Air Force, Indiana at UCLA. Nightcap's not super great. We have San Diego State at Cal and the New Mexico State at Fresno State, BYU, Wyoming. So overall, it's not like an awesome week of college football, but there is enough to like keep me interested.
I'm going to watch Colorado State too.
Oh, that's CBS Night.
Yeah, yep, I think so. But yeah, that's CBS. But that one was, you remember the last year game?
I do.
It was entertaining.
Have you watched Colorado State this year?
I heard they're bad.
They're very bad. Now the question will be: It's like, what if can Colorado flex on them?
I'm a narratives guy. I like the midweek trash talk. The guy at Colorado State, he said we're going to see what he said if their Instagram followers can win them the game this week or something like that.
Also, good news for Colorado is Shiloh doesn't have to play.
That is good.
I don't know if you noticed, as soon as Shiloh went out,
defense, yeah,
they started getting some stops.
Yeah.
just pointing that out. All right, let's go to the noon slate on Sunday quickly before we get to Eric. We have New Orleans at Dallas. I think that's an interesting game because did New Orleans show us something last week, or were the Panthers just that bad? We got the rematch of the NFC divisional game. Yep. Tampa goes to Detroit.
Yep.
We got Indianapolis, Green Bay. We're going to talk about that with DeMichael. Also, Eric is a Packers guy, so we'll talk about that next segment because there's a couple big questions I have on that. Rodgers goes to Nashville. We got Jets at Titans. Niners at Minnesota. Seattle at New England. Giants at Commanders. Gross. I guess someone technically has to win, although
Somebody's
got to win. Chargers taking on the Panthers, Jags hosting the Browns, and then Vegas at Baltimore. All right, I think this one's pretty simple. This is clearly a red zone TV
red zone week,
because there's just so much on TV1. And then I think for your side TVs, you got to go Tampa Bay, Detroit,
for sure.
New Orleans, Dallas.
Yep.
And then
on the early slate,
yeah.
49ers Vikings?
I think I want to watch Jets Titans.
I can see that.
And the only reason you got Rodgers and Levis.
Okay.
Levis is as bad as he looked. Yeah,
first quarter. Yeah.
This is a hand on the remote game.
Yeah, definitely.
This is, and honestly, now with YouTube making it, this is probably a build your own YouTube box, but we'll run into the problem because we're in market with the Titans.
Yep.
The Titans will have to be on CBS. And so you are, I 100% agree with you. This is a keep your hand on the remote. We have three 325 games, Rams at Cardinals, Pittsburgh at Denver, but I think Justin's playing again, right?
Yeah.
So we don't get the Ross revenge game.
Yeah, we don't get it.
Although, good. I don't understand. Play Justin.
Just play the younger guy.
He at least gives you something in the run game.
Yeah.
And then we have Burrow against Kansas City. Are the Bengals going to look as bad as they did last week? We still don't know about T, right?
I don't think so. Yeah. T's still up in the air, but
I'm worried about Burrow and the wrist. The wrist looked bad.
It did, but I mean, you get another week of Jamar, you know, without all the holdout stuff and all that.
And as bad as it was, if they don't fumble at the freaking goal line, they still think they win the game.
Yeah.
So we've got at least got a headliner. Burrow goes to Kansas City taking on Mahomes. Our Sunday night game is Bears at Texans. All right, I want to talk about that Packers game and what the Packers should do at quarterback. We'll do it with my two big Packers fans. We got DeMichael and Eric coming up next, right here. Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
I don't know. I didn't know. I was like,
I'm not on Facebook.
I didn't think you were either.
I'm not.
DeMichael's the one that notified me, so you got to be mad at DeMichael, not me.
I appreciate it. You guys are very kind to say that. I'm not the one that makes a big deal about it. I have friends who are, I was born in September, so let's celebrate the whole month. No.
Birthday month is the worst.
Birthday week, birthday weekend, birthday eve, birthday post day. All of it.
All right, here's what I want to ask both of you.
Low profile.
Because y'all both love your Packers.
For sure.
Yes, we suck.
What should y'all do? Because I don't know if people know this. Malik's not very good.
No, he's not.
He seems like a lovely young man, but he's not very good
very
at quarterback.
Nice man.
Yes.
No. I don't know what you do, honestly, with the injuries that have happened. I thought, you know, maybe you could have bridge the gap. Have we gotten the actual verdict on Jordan Love? Is it
everything I keep ending? Hearing is like he's somewhere around the Cardinals game, right?
I think he'll miss the next two games.
Okay,
and then try to get back for that division game against the Vikings.
They obviously didn't feel the need, but then they had two backup quarterbacks and realized they weren't the answer, so they go make the deal for Willis. I don't know. I mean, like, what's out there is not anything.
Of course, I don't even know financially. Like, yeah. Like
the
I don't
defense
even...
has just got to step up. I mean, it's we're gonna
well,
it's gonna be
only
triple
used 47
option.
47 first round picks in the last 4 years on defense. That's all they ever pick. That's why Aaron Rodgers left. Now, granted, I'm kind of glad he did at that point because he was more of a distraction than a help. But I don't blame him when you pass on opportunities to get CeeDee Lamb or Justin Jefferson and you take a defensive back who's not in the league anymore. Yep. And I think there were other wide receivers in that draft because I'm pretty sure Lamb went third out of the group of wide receivers. And I think they had two first-round picks and could have easily moved up to get him. And the Cowboys said, hey, thanks. We appreciate that. You keep taking defensive backs and, you know, safeties and interior defensive linemen, which obviously you need, but I'm just saying that with the amount of first-round picks they've used on defensive players over the last 20 years, how are they not known as a phenomenal defensive team? Just curious, just asking for a friend.
It has to happen now, right? Like, you got the new coach, and I actually, those blitz looks in the first game were different. It's just, obviously, everyone was talking about it all week. Like, leading up into the game, I just kept saying in my head, like, everybody just shut up. Like, Hurts is going to hear this. They keep saying, oh, he's so terrible against the blitz. He's so terrible. And he shredded us every time we blitzed.
Yeah, but,
like,
y'all played well enough.
Every time we blitzed, it was a big play.
Like, it was the field,
It was the field. That's my excuse.
I was stuck trying to get to Las Vegas, planning the trip so I could watch the game in Las Vegas. I was stuck trying to get to Vegas. This was not the American Airlines Corporation's finest weekend when it came to my travel in terms of flights. But it happens. And
anytime I hear about someone having like a disaster travel scenario, I always just go, "Did you fly American?" And they're like, "How'd you know?" It's like,
yeah, but you know what though? I heard that on the first flight to Dallas, so. I've really rarely had issues with them because I tend to use – I started using them anytime I went west because I'd rather not go backwards to Atlanta or north.
I agree. Yeah, it's such a mental block to go east to Atlanta to go west.
Right. So the first one I got, but I think I was more disappointed with the counter help. And I get they get a lot of grief, but – like, you would have thought the person I spoke to at the counter this time of the day that I got delayed when we were supposed to leave at 8 and I ended up leaving at 4, you would have thought I, like called her or something horrible or anything, and I just went up and said, hey, I need to change my flight. I really don't want to go back through Charlotte. I'm trying to get to Las Vegas. And she just looked at me like I had just, you know, done something horrible to her entire family. And I'm like, I just want help. Thanks. So I think that was a little more disappointing than anything. But, I unfortunately watched it through there, and then I saw the replays. But, yes, the Michael's right. When they Jalen Hurts is, I think that's he's got the speed and the agility when the blitz comes. If you know it's coming, he's going to make something happen. But still had a chance to win that game, obviously. And, look, I knew they would be fine if they stayed healthy, which, of course, does not happen on the last play of the game. But that was like last year. I thought they would, you know, if they had Aaron Jones all year,
yeah,
I think they would have had a better shot. But then they get healthy, and then they made the run and just missed a field goal against the Niners, or they're playing the Lions for the NFC title. So I was pleasantly surprised, especially with that young group of wide receivers. And if because of an injury to the quarterback position this year derails that, so be it. You know, there's very few teams in this league that recover quarterback significant quarterback injuries and live up anywhere near to potential.
Did y'all care that LaFleur, do y'all have PTSD that LaFleur kicked a field goal to make a one-score game,
sure,
a one-score game again?
It was the Bucks NFC, what was that, the NFC Championship against the Bucks over again. Yeah, I knew it was going to, when I saw that happen, because it was about 8 minutes left,
yeah,
seven, 8 minutes left, I was like, we're not going to get the ball back. Like, we got, right, we ended up getting the ball back, but, and like you said, the field, you know, like the holding call against Jair was terrible. The Kenny Clark one was whatever, but the one against, Jair and Devontae Smith,
yeah,
like, they got a couple bad calls, but it's like, they walked up the field. And then,
yeah,
we got the ball back with like 30 seconds.
And no timeouts.
And then he gets hurt. So they're just like, now I'm blaming the defense. I'm like, if you get us a stop somewhere, he's probably not hurt. Like,
right.
Did you feel better about the Packers?
Not a great way to start.
Well, so did you feel better about the Packers or the Eagles?
I mean, knowing what I heard when I was when I got to Las Vegas and there were a lot of Eagle fans running around, Nick Sirianni is not going to take a lead in the mayoral race for Philadelphia anytime soon. A lot of people not happy with him. So
I don't know that
I'd be thinking about public office if I were Nick Sirianni.
Is there any other city that when they turn on their coach, to me, Philly's second to none?
It gets rough.
They're second to none and everything like that, though. I know everybody talks about the batteries at Santa Claus, but, I mean, even when they're good, like the Sixers, and they know they're good. I know the Grizzlies were in the game there, and no Embiid, and it's an awkward broadcast position because we literally are right in the middle of the stands. So I'm always fearful that, you know, you're going to get some guy who's had a few too many libations and cheesesteaks and just start yelling things behind me that are going to get me in trouble. So I'm always very wary, so I pay attention. But you would have thought the Sixers were like 3-67 at the time we played them, the way they were yelling at them. And I'm like, this is bananas. But I guess, you know, they're a little spoiled by success right now. I'm not sure how the Flyers have been overall, but in the last handful of years, the Phillies have been awesome, obviously, winning a World Series. The Eagles have been very good. The Sixers have been good. So I think what it is that city thrives on the success of their teams, whether it's college basketball with Villanova or the NFL or the NHL. They just, it picks them up. And, you know, they call it the city of brotherly love. I used to have a friend that worked there once, goes, most inappropriately named city ever, by the way. And I was like, wow, you didn't have a good time. And I was like, I would love to be there. That's one of my favorite road trips because of the food and the people we met. But I will be honest, like when you're out and about in public, it's not the friendliest of places. And if the Eagles or Phillies have lost a game they shouldn't have, or Sixers or Flyers, that's a night you might want to consider just hanging out at the hotel bar rather than go to a watering hole.
All right, let's talk a little Grizzlies, because this is something I'm interested in. How How long do you think the Grizz are going to... Do you think they'll come out in the 10-man rotation? And if so, how long do you think they're going to stick with it?
I don't think... I guess you have to try it. I think that's what preseason's got to be for.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
a good
because
point.
Even with the injury to GG Jackson, which eliminates one, your secondary unit players include Vince Williams, Brandon Clark... or not Vince Williams, I'm sorry, because I think Vince could slide in. Either Vince Williams or Marcus Smart. But let's just say, assuming Marcus Smart's in the starting lineup. Vince Williams, Brandon Clark, obviously Luke Kennard, John Conchar, that's nine right there. Santi Aldama, 10. If you keep, it pips up, then you got Scotty there, you got Derrick Rose. I mean, there's 12, so... You got to play Rose if he's available that night. You got to play Brandon Clark if he's available that night. I think you have to bring in Luke Kennard, and I think you have to bring in Vince Williams at some point. So whether it's a full and Santi if he's there, because he's gotten better. So I don't know.
You got a lot of bodies.
Define rotation. Are you talking just getting minutes, or are you talking about consistent same minutes? I think they've shown in the past that's a good formula for success during a grind of a regular season, but you got to condense it when it comes to playoff time.
Yeah,
and so I'm more in favor of what are we going to do later.
Yeah,
and if guys are unhappy with minutes, then pick up phones and see who needs one of those guys and what you can do to move and move off of it or give somebody an opportunity. They once upon a time did that with, you know, the split time between Grayson Allen and Desmond Bane. They hitched their wagon to Desmond Bane. And it worked out. Grayson's flourished at times in other places, and Desmond, as we know, has really flourished here. But they recognized that after that series against the Jazz that they had to condense the roster. They had to trim some of that. Now, the problem with last year, and aside from the injuries causing the losses, now you've got young guys that have tasted significant minutes.
Yeah.
And it's hard to just go back to them and go, oh, by the way, Vince Williams, you were getting a lot of DNP CDs, but you came in and looked like one of the most improved players in the league. But now we got to put you back at the end of the bench. That's a hard thing to do because fans will remember what they did last year. Well, why can't we bring Vince in here? You can't coach based on what fans want. If you think like a fan as a coach, you will be a fan before you know it. That's an old saying. If you manage a team or your general manager is thinking for the fans, he'll be with the fans, same type of thing. So, again, maybe the way that really works out is that you've given guys a chance to showcase their abilities and somebody else is willing to say, okay, we'll give you a future first or a couple of future seconds if you know a guy is not going to get an opportunity to play. It's not the worst position to be in if you stay healthy because you have depth. But it is a tougher position than if you know these are my nine, and then I got three that can step in case of injury, and then I've got three more that are developmental. And I don't think they're in that position right now because your rookie is expected to be your starter at center. You do have a developmental guy in Wells, but then, you know, the rest of them, you've got guys that have been there. And so G.G. Jackson is not going to want to come off his broken foot when he's ready to go and go, yeah, okay, I'm cool taking 11 minutes a night. And people are going to want to see him because he's 19. He'll be 20 years old probably by the time he's really back in full shape. And this guy could be the limit the way he looked last year. Vince Williams, same type of thing. Keeping Luke Kennard on the lesser deal was not a bad thing, but if he's not going to, you know, be a long-term fix, is that someone that you look at the deadline and go, well, we need ball handling help because Derrick Rose is not capable of going back-to-back nights because of the mileage on the tires. I'm not meaning that disparagingly against Derrick. That's just, you know, the way his body is. He's been fantastic, and he's been a great presence with the organization. But do you maybe get another guard in there to fill those nights? So I don't know. It's one of those things where I think you have to roll it as it goes. I'll never forget when Hubie Brown first came in and ran a straight 10-man rotation. And I think at that time there were only 15 guys on the roster, 13 active. You had more of an opportunity to just set that rotation. But everybody always said the thing that made him successful was also the thing that would get him in trouble with his players and lose the locker room, is eventually guys either want more minutes or want out, and that's what you have to figure out.
That's a big question this year, too, because the way I look at it, Eric, is when you look at this roster and you look at, you know, the role that Taylor Jenkins has in constructing this thing, it's comparable to, like, baseball managers. Like, he has to manage this thing. Like, you mentioned the G.G. Jackson part of it. Like, when G.G. comes back, and you, I mean, you just mentioned pretty much, like, 12 guys who have a chance to be in a rotation for 9 spots. Like, this is year 20 for you, too. Mike Wallace shot me that note. Shout out to Mike Wallace. But congrats on year 20 as well.
Well, let me clarify that. Mm-hmm. It's my 20-year anniversary of being hired by the team, but I actually was there the first 3 years, too. So, yeah, I'm thankful for the opportunity that they created after the first 3 years at our original flagship. I was employed by the station those three. But, yeah, so year 24, I think next year I might go into – it's my 25th season. That's – to me, that's a little bit of an accomplishment, but you guys are far too kind. I mean, you're going to give me an ego, and I'm going to expect things.
Never.
I do have a few emails for free sandwiches and stuff, but I'm waiting for one that says free bar tab tonight, because since I have nothing to do tomorrow.
All right, last thing before we let you go, along those lines that we're talking about with the non-job minutes, do you think they want to play Dez on the ball as much as they did last year?
I can't see that. I mean, I think they will out of necessity at times, but I can't see that. I don't have a problem with him on the ball, but I think he's clearly more of a threat off of the ball. And so I think they'd like to find somebody. You know, they were spoiled by Tyus Jones being there. That was just a luxury to have. And, you know, it's unfortunate that those are the things that will happen. DeMichael, I felt like we lost your question there because I was being a smart.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.